Park in Denver is under attack for similar reasons. The recently released UN Plaza design was a group effort by city staff members and community representatives appointed by the Board of Soups in San Francisco. The board is expected to discuss the redesign in the coming weeks, and the city's Art and Planning Commission will also get a chance to review it. The working group suggested nearly $1 million in changes now and $4.8 million later, starting with removing the fountain, opening Leavenworth Street. Hang on just a second here. To taxis, removing a Simon Bolivar monument given to the city by Venezuela in 1984, improving lighting and adding trees to help the big space feel more cozy. Sort of like what they did downtown after the earthquake. They removed all the trees, removed all the curves, removed all the shrubbage and planters, and put it ramrod straight, put out these big sidewalks, most of which are now being devoured by the businesses and the open-air cafes, or I should say many of which are, some of which I like, some of which I don't. Friendly. This is the merchant's idea of friendly. The plaza's problems have been festering for years in San Francisco, and homeless people were shooed out of the Civic Center Plaza in the mid-1990s. Shooed out. Like with arrests, confiscations of their property, police abuse. Sorry, that's not shooed out. This is the San Francisco Chronicle, I gotta remember. In the mid-1990s, the shopping carts and drug problems moved a block down to UN Plaza. Then last month, in the city's latest attempt to stop undesirable behavior, the Department of Public Works announced it was giving up on fishing hypodermic needles and human feces out of the fountain and fenced it off from the public. Halperin reacted to the changes by asking why the city tolerates that kind of behavior. "I'm not angry at the homeless," he said. "I'm angry at the people who let them not act civilized." I don't know about this. Yet regular police patrols and even stay-away orders issued by the DA's office don't stop some of the problems. At a recent farmer's market, Officer Larry McDevitt parked his patrol car in the plaza near market. He just shooed away some people who moved between two farmer's trucks to smoke crack. Again, we're talking about sort of like, you know, you shoo away a dog, maybe. You shoo away a kitty. You shoo away a fly. This is putting people in a similar category. "When I'm here, they move to the other end. If I move over there, they move across the street," McDevitt said. On a typical day at UN Plaza, commuters from the BART station and market pass through the plaza on their way to government buildings, the main library, the new Asian Arts Museum, and theaters. Despite a small coffee shop in the plaza, few commuters or workers stick around. Homeless people sit on the raised grass area near market, some spreading out used books or other found treasures for sale. Other people openly haggle a drug sale or light a crack pipe. On the Hyde Street end, I love that crack pipe stuff, closer to the Civic Center, more homeless people sit at the foot of the Bolivar statue. Yet the plaza has a schizophrenic personality, because on Wednesdays and Sundays it jumps to life with the vibrant heart of the city farmers market. Market manager Christine Adams says she loves the fountain and other elements of the plaza, but she's tired of calling the police to deal with the problem. She had to hire a private security guard to help prevent theft, public urination, and occasional rowdiness from drunks. "When people look down the plaza from Market Street, they shouldn't have to see that mess on Simon Bolivar." And Halperin, again, the architect, doesn't want to his art held hostage or removed because of this. What do you think, Jan? Have you been following this article at all? It looks like you've been doing a little reading over here.
No, I'm reading about jury nullification.
Oh boy. I hope somebody's listening here. Yeah, it's a question of what do you do? They're planning to close down. They've already fenced off the plaza in San Francisco, or the fountain part of the plaza, and they're doing the same thing in Santa Cruz. I think, of course, in Santa Cruz, the idea is completely outrageous that you want to remove public seating space. And in San Francisco, too, the picture they create of this menacing area.
The right of the people to peacefully assemble. Let's go back to the Constitution, Robert, and hammer on that. The right of the people to peacefully assemble.
Yeah, that's... Well, the way to get around it is to remove the assembly places, you see. Or to set up special protest zones 3 miles from President Bush.
Well, what if everybody just brought their own chairs?
It is illegal. You can bring a chair in Santa Cruz, but you can't bring a bench. I was thinking about they're removing the benches. We should set up benches. Uh-huh. It's illegal to set up a bench in Santa Cruz without a permit unless you're a veteran.
I love to see that definition. I love to see the definition, the actual definition between a chair and a bench. That should be interesting.
I invite you to check out the Santa Cruz's own municipal code.
I know that when I was challenging some of the park rangers were telling me that I couldn't go off trail in the parks to help find illegal campsites or illegal activity and problems out in the Greenbelt. And then I said, well, what's your definition of trail? Of course, they didn't have one. They're neophytes at handling undeveloped land, and when it gets down to the definition trail, they don't have one. So they had to admit that the best they could do is tell me that I would be defying the orders of a ranger, of a law officer, but they have no way to keep me off trail when they can't define a trail to begin with.
Well, their trail.
And a lot of law comes down to definition. I think one definition that everybody ought to look up sometime is the definition of possess. And you've heard the old quote, possession is 9/10 of the law. Well, read the definition of possess in Black's Law Dictionary and think about the consequences to anything that you're fighting or dealing with, and you'll find out that there are very interesting ramifications for whether or not you are in certain type of possession. There's about 25 different actual legal definitions of possession, depending on what you're talking about. And I think Mr. Quigley informed me that if you do your homework, you find out that you do not legally possess your car, except in one sense. You can sign away the title to it, but your actual control and authority over that car is so limited by the state vehicle codes that you don't really legally possess that car.
Maybe we can get you on Quigley's show, and you can actually get into it with a broader audience. Here's an interesting article called "The Other F Word: Chosen by the Grace of God." This I'm kind of leaping back to national priorities. Only have about 6 minutes left in the show. You got to call. You better call in now, 427-3772. By the way, you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is the Bathroom Spears Broadside Show. On the air with me is Jan Golder, who is holding a forum on June 10th, and he may show up at the next Huff meeting. You never can tell. Wednesday at 8:30, Baker's Square. Be there in the morning, free coffee, and you get to talk to me, too.
I need my pre-coffee coffee just to get to the Huff meeting.
He needs to do so. We have to slap him around. This is an interesting story about the word fascist and its application to Bush. I found it very interesting. It is very opinionated, but it's on the Counterpunch website, www.counterpunch.org. And you can also, by the way, get a good website if you go to Indie Media. I encourage people to go to that one, www.santacruz.indiemedia. Here we have a quick phone call. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
I just wanted to comment about the milquetoast, worthless interview you had with the sheriff last Thursday.
Yes, indeed it was.
You asked him nothing about anything that was really significant.
Yes.
You had a chance to really do something, Robert.
Yes, I did.
And it was like you're working for the guy. What, does he pay you?
I'm going to take my licks from you. I'm a bad boy, and I admit it. I've already explained this a couple times, so I won't explain it again, but you're right. So I can't say anything but mea culpa.
All right. Well, I missed the times that you said it on the air, but I wanted to call and say that. It's certainly significant that you had the guy on your show. It says something about the legitimacy of free radio in Santa Cruz.
No, I think he was hornswoggled down on the show. He didn't know it was my show. But yeah.
Gosh, the opportunity to really nail the guy for some substantial issues.
I will
talk about Richard Quigley.
I'll have my hammer and nails ready next.
Okay.
Time.
Ask him about his own department's abuse of power.
Right.
And the scoundrels that he protects.
Exactly.
Rather than medical marijuana and the drunk tank.
Right.
Anyhow. Thank you much.
Thank you.
I'll tune in.
Okay.
See ya.
The Other F Word, Chosen by the Grace of God by Ben Tripp. This is in the May 7th edition of Counterpunch. Again, you can get it on the Counterpunch website. You could fill your lederhosen with razor blades and ride a bicycle down some steps. You could administer yourself a boiling hot clyster of Drano and minced cactus. You could irritate a pride of lions while bedecked in a ham waistcoat. But why take the easy way out? It's better to stand and fight. I refer to the deeply Sisyphean task of opposing the neo-fascist regime which has taken over the United States. There, I did it. I used the word fascist, which places me in that camp, even if the word was prefixed with the modifier neo, as in, oh, neo for the worst idea ever. It's been a long time coming, and not just because of Bob Dole's Viagra, humorous joke, get it? Long time, never mind. For all its strenuous efforts, I could never give the Bush administration that much credit before. Fascism is such a heavy term, so loaded with images of greasy newsreel dictators in Sam Brown belts and tall boots. Too many commentators leapt on the Orwellian and fascist bandwagons too quickly after Bush's sic volo, sic jubeo term of office. After all, wasn't the World War I and Sedition Act far worse than Ashcroft's Junior Inquisition? How about the McCarthy era, when a ventriloquist dummy nearly destroyed our nation's freedoms just to deny Dalton Trumbo the screenwriting credit for Roman Holiday? For a long time, I couldn't quite slap the F word, as fascism is coyly known among lefties, on Bush and his minions. No matter how naughty the man who would be president might be, for my tastes, he never hit that perfect Kafka note until recently. Him and his people weren't really fascists, just execrable, excrudescent assholes. But 2003 has changed all that. These people are fascists, and they make Mussolini look like a mezzofinuk. There is no component of American liberty of which they are unwilling to relieve us, and no aspect of American life upon which they are unwilling to relieve themselves. Where to begin? First, we must define fascism. It is a term like love, about which it can be said that everybody knows exactly what it means and nobody knows what they're talking about. Luckily, I know everything, and so it can clear a matter up, particularly if I can consult Mussolini's own diary, which I picked up on eBay for a song. The song was That's Amore, as sung by Dean Martin. For those not fluent in Italian, I will paraphrase the definition before me in Il Duce's crabbed hand. Fascism is an extreme right-wing ideology which embraces nationalism as the transcendent value of society. The rise of fascism relies upon the manipulation of populist sentiment in times of national crisis. Based on fundamentalist revolutionary ideas, fascism defines itself through intense xenophobia, militarism, and supremacist ideals. Although secular in nature, fascism's emphasis on mythic beliefs such as divine mandates, racial imperatives, and violent struggle places highly concentrated power in the hands of a self-selected elite from whom all authority flows to lesser elites such as law enforcement, intellectuals, and the media. What a rush. Must buy Clara a new hat. I couldn't have said it better myself. If we accept this general definition of fascism, we can be forgiven for rushing to the bottom and throwing some... Now, this article, unfortunately, goes on, and my time does not. And I have got to be out of here because we have someone who's going to give you a little soothing music. But I will return with this definition of fascism and why our author here, again, you can beat me to the punch by going to the Counterpunch website, now calls Bush a fascist with no apologies. He has some very specific reasons for doing so. Very interesting stuff. We're going to go out on Ann Feeney, Have You Been to Jail for Justice, which I think is a cool tune. I like it. Come on down to the Huff meeting on Wednesday. Come to the town hall meeting, if you want, at 7 o'clock at the Del Mar on Tuesday. And we'll see you at the next show, if that doesn't happen, on Thursday at 6 o'clock on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, 6 o'clock in the evening. 423-4833 is the Huff line, 423-HUFF, if you want to call in, and I'll talk to you when I talk to you.
Was it Cesar Chavez? Maybe it was Dorothy Day. Some will say Dr. King or Gandhi set them on their way. No matter who your mentors are, it's pretty plain to see. If you've been to jail for justice, you're in good company. Have you been to jail for justice? I want to shake your hand. Sitting in and lying down are ways to take a stand. Have you sung a song for freedom or marched that picket line? Have you been to jail for justice? Oh, you're a friend of mine. You law-abiding citizens, listen to this song. Laws were made by people, and people can be wrong. Once unions were against the law, but slavery was fine. Women were denied the vote, and children worked the mine. The more you study history, the less you can deny it. A rotten law stays on the books till folks with guts defy it. Have you been to jail for justice? I want to shake your hand. Sitting in and lying down, always to take a stand. Have you sung a song for freedom or marched that picket line? Have you been to jail for justice? Oh, you're a friend of mine. Now the law's supposed to serve us, and so are the police. When that system fails, it's up to us to speak our peace. It takes eternal vigilance for justice to prevail. So get courage from your convictions. Let them haul you off to jail. Have you been to jail for justice? I want to shake your hand. Sitting in and lying down, always to take a stand. Have you sung a song for freedom? Or march that picket line? Have you been to jail for justice? Will you go to jail for justice? Have you been to jail for justice? Oh, you're a friend of mine.
.3 Freak Radio, Spoon in the studio, trying to put a little music right here. Today we got a great show, and I'm going to start off right with a little bit of My Morning Jacket, and then I'll talk to you in a minute. Here's a cover of theirs, Jefferson Airplane.